Well, Dan really likes wine this week. A very special guest from the continent. For so many years, South Africa has looked to Europe and to America and to the Far East as the home for South African wine exports, when it's closer to home that the real treasure may lie. And I'm hoping to unpack that today because my guest is a rather influential member of the wine trade, joining us from Kenya, where she sells plenty of South African wine amongst wine from other parts of the world. Gideon Gena, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dan. It's lovely to be here. It's an honor.
It is lovely to have you here and lovely to have you in South Africa. How's your time on this trip been?
It's amazing. This is the third time we're participating at Cape Wine. The first time we're here in 2018, and so far, so good. The city keeps getting better, brighter. The weather is good. There's lots to see, so we're enjoying ourselves here.
It's kind of hard not to, especially at this time of year, and especially when you are accompanying everything with some rather good wine. But how good has the wine been, given that it is your third visit? Are you seeing improvement? Are you seeing differences? Are you seeing the wine grow? Is it impressing you?
Yes, I mean, very, very impressed. Again, I feel like there's more vendors or exhibitors here this time. There's a lot of wine, and of course, even the quality is, you know, it's really great. So it's good. It's good. So I'm sure 3 years from now, we'll be mind blown. We'll see something good from there.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a fortnight for Cape Wine next time.
Right? I know, right?
We shall need it.
Yeah.
It's really good to hear that because a number of the producers I've been speaking to, and more certainly than 3 years ago, Africa is coming up in the conversations. Africa is coming up as a destination where we want wine to be found. So with regards to Kenya and South African wines, starting with the wine culture, I've spent a bit of time in Nairobi. I've got a good friend in Nairobi.
Awesome.
But for those people who don't know Kenya, don't know the Kenyan market, don't know Kenyan culture, how big a role does wine play?
Yeah, so I'd say we've come from far in terms of the wine drinking culture. Maybe many years ago, probably no one was having wine, or very few people, mostly foreigners. But the wine culture is growing. And I think for us, that's where we play a big part, because we also do wine education. We make sure we have tastings there. So there's a lot of curiosity to good wines now. So the market is growing. Of course, compared to whiskies and beers, it's a bit smaller, but it's growing day by day.
So if I arrive in Nairobi and I'm out to dinner, not just at a restaurant, but say I'm coming around to the Ngena household for dinner, is wine in many Kenyan families now something that you might find around a dinner table?
Yes, definitely. I mean, for the Ngena household, you'll find wine at the gate. It's called welcome you with wine. So
wine with breakfast, exactly. Wine with lunch.
Yeah, we love wine as a family. My dad loves wine. He loves rosé. My mom loves wine. And I think for me, that's how we ended up in the business. It started from, okay, we love wine, we're enjoying it, so why don't we make some money from it, you know? And that's how we got into the business.
So you have this business, you are importing wine into Kenya. How much has that grown? How successful has it been for you?
Yeah. So we've been importing wine into the country for 15 years now. The company was started by my mom, Jane. So we work together. And it's been great. She actually started with importing wines from South Africa. So that was the first import she brought in. And I think did that for 5 years before we started now exploring European wines. So it's been great. It's been good. Again, as I said, the market is growing, so it's also good for us. And we're able to, let me say, satisfy every need, you know, from lifestyle wines all the way to the premium style of wines.
From a purely outsider's perspective, I would imagine from the little time I've spent in Nairobi, I would most need a glass of wine after negotiating Nairobi traffic.
Yes.
It seems you can spend days in traffic
you
in
can.
Nairobi.
You can.
So that might be one time that you need it. But more generally, are there wine bars emerging? Are restaurants creating wine lists? Is that element of wine culture growing?
Yes, for sure. I mean, like, you cannot have a restaurant without a very good wine list. And it's good also for the sommeliers based in Nairobi, because they're having an opportunity to now be able to have a say or give feedback on the wines that should be on the wine list, which is good, because I think originally, or before, they'd use the waiters to come up with the wine lists, and now almost all restaurants and even bars have in-house sommeliers, which was something that was not seen before. So that shows that the culture is growing, and we're happy about it. People are taking more wines, especially in restaurants. I'd say also there's a lot of sales in the supermarkets. We have very big supermarket chains with people with stores or like companies with stores, about 100 stores around the country. And we have three really big chains and they sell quite a lot of wine. Actually, they are our biggest customers at the moment. Because I think in Kenya, people prefer to buy wine and have it in their houses as opposed to, we don't really have a dining culture really, but of course it's there. But majority of the wines are bought in the supermarkets.
So good news then on the volumes increasing. What about the varietals? What sort of wine is striking a chord with Kenyan people?
Yeah, so we all have a sweet tooth. Yeah, so we love sweet stuff. So, I mean, in terms of volumes, sweet wines move the fastest, obviously. And I think for those who take dry wines, it's something floral, something easy to drink. That's what like moves off the shelves like really, really fast. I'd say Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, the easier wines is what people tend to look out for. But as I said, there's a lot of curiosity. So anything flies.
Yeah. What about brands? Is a wine brand something that the people gravitate towards? I've found the brand I like. I want to stick with this. Or are they quite happy to chop and change and discover?
Definitely chop and change. Like people are very curious. So today I'll have this, tomorrow I'll try that. The other day I'll have this other. So we're flexible. We love wine. Kenyans love wine. So they'll just pick anything that goes or anything that they see and move from one brand to another, which is okay, which is good because, you know, the more they taste different wines and experience different wines, it helps us as an industry to grow to the next level.
You're also one of the world's great tourist destinations, and I know many South Africans have been up to Kenya spending time out in the bush on safari.
Yes.
Is that an element of your business? And for tourists who are coming into Kenya, is there, and I say this from a slightly biased perspective, is there a feeling, well, we're in Africa, we'd like to have some African wine, even if it's from a little further south than Kenya?
No, definitely yes. I mean, like most game lodges in the national parks, they always ask for South African wines, which is good because most of the foreigners coming there, like, we want a taste of Africa. You want to actually feel like you're having something African. So that's when now the South African wines beat all the others, which is good. But as mentioned, because of also the proximity to Kenya, we have a lot of South African wines in Kenya and they sell really well. I don't know if it's the weather that we have, but it kind of like resonates with what people like to have. As I said, something like floral, very nice and aromatic. So, yeah. I think Kenya is a very huge just destination for South African wines.
Which is fantastic to hear. And yet I still feel that we're only just scratching the surface. And that probably applies to the entire continent because there are many parts of Africa where South African wine has hardly made any headway. Places that have, say, an historic relationship with France, for instance, where French wine is the dominant space. We're growing. People like you are helping this to happen. We're very grateful.
Yes.
Thank you.
Gladly.
But how much more potential is there for the wine industry as a whole, South African wine in particular, to do even more in Kenya?
Yeah, I think there's space to do even more. As we said, for example, I think the market share for wine is only 2%. 2% compared to maybe whiskey, that's like about 70% of the market share. So we still have a lot of room to grow. And I think for us, we encourage producers to make sure they visit the country. Come bring your wines. The good thing with WASA, they're able to organize this tasting experiences where producers get to meet the consumer, they get to meet importers, they get to meet hoteliers and just everyone in the industry. So there's still room to grow. Like, I think Kenya is a place to be. I'm sure you know there's a lot of tariffs now in the US and all that. But I mean, Kenya is free for all. So please, they need to pay more attention to us.
Judy, we were going so well with this conversation that you had to bring up the American tariffs.
I have to. I'm in business. I have to.
The entire South African wine industry is on Prozac at the moment, trying to forget.
I know, right?
In tariffs. But you're right. It does give us an opportunity, and it's clear an opportunity is there. We do face some competition from wine from Europe.
Yeah.
Do we face competition from Kenya itself? Are there any vineyards in Kenya?
Yes, but there's only one commercial vineyard. And I know they're working a lot with producers from South Africa also just to help with the technique and the winemaking and all that. But we don't really have like a wine growing industry really. But we hope to get there because Tanzania, which is our next door country, is doing it. And I think it's something we can look into if possible. But of course, we also need a lot of support from the government, which it's tricky because we have to start from policy.
Is there an existing bottle of Kenyan wine? And if so, what is it?
Yes, there is Leleshwa. Leleshwa wines, they have, I think, a Chenin, they have a Sauvignon Blanc as well, and some Shiraz, if I'm not wrong. But, I mean, it's good. We, of course, when we travel out of the country, we like to carry it and just say, hey, we have something from Kenya. But I think we have a very long way to go. Of course, nothing compared with what you have, but we're learning from the best, and I'm sure we'll get there with time.
We will have to start somewhere.
We have to start somewhere, exactly, yeah. But what I'd like to mention is we also have very big wine events. I have a wine event called the Wine Fair. We are like four partners in that, and it's a really huge event that happens every year in Nairobi. And for us, we try and link up the importers directly to the consumers. And actually, as of this year, we have producers now coming so that they're able to interact with the consumers. And we're just literally just trying anything we can to grow the wine space. And so far, so good.
Is that one of the big challenges with wine in Kenya, that process of education? And by education, not everybody must know what malolactic fermentation means, but simply getting to understand wine on their own terms and finding a comfortable space with it?
Yes, yes, exactly. So I think for us, once we have these events, then you kind of make it simpler. You make wine fun. In fact, for us, what we're trying to do with the wine fair is make wine easy, relatable, you know, not snobbish, like anyone can have wine. You'd be able to find something at every price point that's comfortable for you. So we're trying to make wine feel like easy, fun, relatable, and something that anyone should try.
Part of me very much wants to come to your wine event, but part of me is a little bit nervous because I've spent time with Kenyans before and you tend to go out all night long.
Yes,
you're still dancing when the sun comes up.
For sure.
I'm not sure if I'd be able to keep up with you, Judy.
Don't worry, I'll hold your hand so you'll be good.
I would certainly love to come, and it does sound like a great occasion and a great affair. And it sounds like wine is pairing rather nicely with Kenyans.
Yes.
What about wine pairing rather nicely with Kenyan food? Is there a culture of food and wine coming together? And if so, what sort of dishes am I eating in Kenya with
definitely,
wine?
Definitely. So one of our like best dishes is nyama choma. That's like grilled meat. It's like braai here. And you can have that anywhere, even on the side of the road. So that goes really well with red wine. In fact, something like this would be perfect with the nyama choma. So that's something people are doing now. Of course, we have at the coast, there's a lot of seafood and fish, which goes really well with the white wines that are coming from South Africa. Like we have a really good Sauvignon Blanc from Devetchov Wine Estate from Robertson Valley. And they make really good Chardonnays as well. So we sell that a lot at the coast because of the weather and the vibe, the beach. So it's really good. Yeah. So we do a lot of food and wine pairings as well.
You very cleverly turned the tables. I was hoping in this to persuade you more about South African wine. You're now selling me on a Kenyan holiday.
Yeah.
Wine fairs and Mombasa holiday and the safaris to go on. You're done. I am sold. You've done it.
I think I should be the host, yeah.
Judy really likes wine. Well, I hope you really like this one. I think you know it well. You referred to this wine. For those people who are listening, might be wondering, well, what is this wine? It is something of a South African icon. This is the chocolate block that appears all over the world. This is something with which you are familiar.
Yes, I know it has a lot of like, is it coffee notes or chocolate notes? But it's doing really well in Kenya. I know it's sold as a premium wine in Kenya, and it's doing really well.
As it should be. It comes from great Swartland grapes mostly. I'm going to ask you to grab a glass and make the sacrifice of drinking some wine with me as we work through our conversation. And just from a very simple perspective, why you feel this is the kind of wine, as you try it, that can make an impact in Kenya, why people in Kenya would like to drink this?
First of all, as I mentioned, the aroma, we love things that just smell good. So this would definitely be perfect in Kenya. And that's why it's moving volumes. It's, I think, very easy to drink. You know, it's smooth. It's nice. It'll go very well with the Kenyan dishes. And again, as I mentioned, the meat, the nyama choma, that's very popular. So I get why it's a hit there.
Oh,
yeah.
Cheers. There we go.
Nice.
It is
yummy.
A great South African success story.
This is good, yeah.
It's one of those wines I'll frequently find in duty free in some obscure city in the world.
Yeah.
In a wine bar in San Francisco, and you wonder how on earth it's got there.
Exactly, yeah.
But it does travel beautifully. It tells a great story. And I'm very happy that it has found a home in Kenya.
Yes.
There may well, though, be South African winemakers listening and are thinking, you know what? I haven't given Kenya enough attention. I should be thinking of it. What for you is the key to looking at the Kenyan market as a South African wine producer and going, right, this is somewhere I want to be. What are the first steps to getting there? And I presume the first step is probably phone Judy.
Yes, exactly. Yes, yes, yes. Call me fast and I'll guide you through. But I think the first thing I'd say, not to scare anyone, is just patience. Because the importation process can be a bit hectic. But I mean, like everyone we've worked with is usually very patient. I think anyone who takes wine is patient because we know we still have to wait for the aging and all that. So we know how to do that. But I think once you have the patience and you're ready to go like the long haul, you know, have a long relationship, because it also takes wine to time to introduce a new wine into the market. But once it picks up, that's it. Yeah. So, of course, we have to think about the taxes. We pay a lot of taxes for wine in Kenya. For us, wines, let's say, for example, this bottle is maybe $10. By the time it lands in Kenya, it's times five.
Times five?
Yes. Yes, so, I know. I always get that reaction.
So
yes.
Basically, a 200-rand bottle of wine becomes a 1,000-rand bottle of wine.
Exactly. So
that's
something that I know. Exactly. So one of the things we've been
come
talking
back, America. All is forgiven.
No. It's so interesting because the reaction when I tell people that is always the same, you know, like in shock. But one of the conversations we're having a lot at the event is telling the producers to, you know, find a way not to charge the Kenyan importers the same cost as you charge, let's say, an importer from the UK, because the taxes are very different, you know. Business entry is very different. So they need to look at the market separately, like kind of like with a different view. But it's possible. The good thing is everyone is like, yeah, I think we're willing to work backwards. Let's see how we can work together, which is good for us. So again, brings in the flexibility. They need to be flexible. But I think Kenya is a very good market. As I said, it's growing. I know it's one of the fastest growing, like in terms of the wine culture. So it's a place to be. It's possible. It's doable. Once you know Judy, it's easy.
You'll get it all sorted out.
Exactly, yeah.
Do you see some of that governance, some of that taxation relaxing in years to come?
I hope so. We can only hope.
That sounds more optimism than conviction.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, but I think we're trying to work close with the government right now, which is good. And I think we'll be able to have some influence in terms of policy changes. And that's something I'm working personally towards.
You've sold me, as I said, on coming to Kenya. So yes. I'm going to have to do that. My good friend Maruza, who lives in Nairobi, is overdue a visit.
Yes.
For people who are listening, often when you're a wine lover, you're also a food lover and a travel lover, and all those things seem to come together.
Yes.
So if I've got a week, 10 days to come to Kenya, other than drinking some lovely wine, what is Judy's expert guide to getting the very best out of such a beautiful country?
Oh, nice. Oh, that's a very good question. I love that. So, of course, you have to start off at the Masai Mara, which is beautiful. There's the migration that happens once a year, which is nice. So you go on the game drives. After that, you definitely have to go to the coast. There's Diani, white, beautiful beaches. Diani, there's Watamu, there's Malindi. Very, very beautiful place. So definitely have to go to the coast. And then I think Kenya is the only country with a national park in the capital city. So if you don't have time to go all the way to Masai Mara, you can just wake up in the morning, take a 20-minute drive, and you're right in the middle, like seeing lions. Yeah, like it's actually right in the capital city, in the CBD, in the town. So it's like now we're in the city center, and then next door there's like a lion walking past. It's crazy. It's cool. So you have no excuse. So for sure, it's a very beautiful, beautiful country.
That almost makes up for your five-time taxes.
Exactly. Yeah, you're like, yeah, okay, give or take.
All right. Yeah. I think in closing, I know the answer to this, but I shall ask it anyway, just for a little more detail. Mm-hmm. You're clearly excited about the wine industry and the wine future in Kenya. What's making you so excited, and what do you think the next few years will look like for wine in Kenya?
Yeah, so for us, I think we're working towards increasing the market share from 2%, and we've made it very clear to everyone. We're trying our best again. We're doing this wine events. So we just look forward to increasing that market share to maybe at least 30% to start. And it's there. Producers are very excited to come into the country, and we're very happy to work with them in that. We are working very hard to add the different variety of wines in Kenya. So, yeah, we're excited to take the wine industry to the next level.
I think you're going to do that because there's clearly both a love of wine and a lot of determination to get there.
Yes, yes, it's the passion. So we love wine.
All right. I'm going to pop into my diary, trip to Kenya to visit Judy, see this beautiful country and watch South African wine flourish, which is doing under your watch. So thank you for coming to join us. Thank you for bringing 17 members of your family to join us as well. Hello, everybody. They're all here showing on. I think Kenya's empty at the moment because the whole Guinea family has come to join us. But do keep enjoying. Do keep celebrating South African wine. Sell a little of the foreign stuff, but stick
a little bit
to South African.
Yeah, we're loyal to South Africa.
We're very grateful for it. We hope we see you back in South Africa again regularly, and I'll look forward to seeing you in Nairobi.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. This was a really good session, and all the best.
We greatly appreciate it. Some very welcome insight into a wine market that, yes, South Africa is playing in, but could do so much more in, and I think that's going to happen, particularly because we've got such fantastic people on the ground in Kenya who understand in, believe in, and absolutely love drinking South African wine. Judy Ngene making her first appearance on Dan Really Likes Wine. It certainly won't be the last.